Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Temura Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Dalet. We open up with a quote from something we had learned on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Gimel Amud Aleph. And if you have that ability to scroll back or to turn back to Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, you will notice at the lower part of the page there was a list of violations that, even though they were violations of a negative command without action, the violation was with speech as opposed to action. Whereas in general, Malchus, the punishment of lashing is given only when a violation of a negative command is performed with action. However, with speech alone, there would be, generally speaking, no Malchus. We had several examples of things that carry with it a Malchus penalty, even though we call a lav shein bo maisa. On the lower part of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, we had several examples. The fourth one was something said in the name of Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina, that in tithing, he tithes out of order. What was said there is Makdim Truma LeBikurim. He tithed the Truma tithe before the Bikurim tithe. It just may be stated that the Truma tithe is something that's given every year from one's produce. A certain amount is given to a Kohen, and the Bikurim is also a tithe that's given from what we call the first fruits to blossom are noted, and they are brought to the Beis HaMikdash and placed on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash with a special passage from the Torah that's recited called Mikra Bikurim, and after that they're presented to the Kohen. That's the Bikurim, called the Bikurim tithe or Bikurim offering. Following that, then one tithes the Truma, and then there's Meiser Rishon, which is given to the Levi, and there's a Meiser Sheni tithe that is practiced on the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the 7-year Shemitah cycle. So, in addition to the fact that there are these multiple tithes, there happens to be an order to the tithing. The Gemara. Actually, before learning the Gemara, we should glance at the outside margin, where we have one of the features of the Shas Ozer, which is the Shas that appears on your screen, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings, and that is we have the topic headings and structural notes from time to time. In this case, we have a topic heading called Nosei, and we've written Hamakdim Hafroshas Truma LeBikurim. If one preempted the Bikurim by being matrish by tithing the Truma tithe and then the Bikurim, which is out of order, Haim Chayev B'Malkis, will that carry with it a punishment of lashing? Machlokes Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So we're going to see two opinions on this topic. Turning now to the Gemara. Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amru, in his name it was said, Af Hamakdim Truma LeBikurim. So too, and at this point in the Gemara, the thinking is, however, be prepared for a big surprise later on, the thinking is, so too, what? So too, there will be Malchus for someone who tithes the Truma before tithing the Bikurim. My Taima, the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, what's the reason for his opinion? Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Malei Ascha, V'dim Acha, Lo Se'acher. Malaya elu bikurim. The word malaya in this pasuk is a reference to the bikurim tithe. Vidim achah, Zuhi Truma. That's a reference to the Truma tithe. The Omra Lo Sacher. And it says, don't delay. Don't delay, which really means don't change order. Don't tithe the Bikurim after the Truma, but rather make sure to do it before. So what you have here is a negative command. And it should be pointed out that this violation does not have to be violated through action, through specific action. There is a concept of tithing that one accomplishes even through thought or through speech, and being that that's the case, it's an example of a lav she'ein bo maisa, and there is, seems to be malchus for it. The Gemara continues. Itmar, hiktim truma libikurim. Basically, a repeat of the topic we're involved with right now, in which it says that if one was makdim, he tied the truma before the bikurim. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanin have two opinions regarding this. We'll call this violation. Charam aloike, the charam arayin aloike. One of these two names that we have circled says that it carries with it a penalty of malchus, and the other one says no. Very often in the Gemara, when you have a situation like this, Chad Omar and Chad Omar, those are pronouns. One says, who is it though? So the Gemara will try to decipher who says what. Tistayim, let us conclude, the Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, who the Omar loke, he must be the one that says that it carries with it malchus. How do I know that? Mido Omar Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina af hamakdim truma libikurim, from the fact that he is the one that said, which we called adding example number four, the fourth example of things that are, there were lav shein bo maisa, there was no action, and yet there is malchus. So it should be fairly obvious that he is the one of these two names that says that there will be malchus. The Gemara, though, says, adarabo, to the contrary, tistayim to Rebbe Lozer hu d'om haloke. We're going to show you how Rebbe Lozer is the one that would say there's malchus. We're going to, first of all, note that this is a long point. That's the nun that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line, and all of these lines are needed in order to develop the point. We will notice a Tanaic source that lasts a number of lines in the frame. Frame sections in Gemara markings are Tanaic sources. In this Tanaic source, there is going to be a reference to, we'll say, tithing out of order. That's in general terms. Following the Tanaic source, you see a dashed, underlined, Rebbe Lozer says, loike. Rebbe Lozer says, as a result of this situation of doing things out of order, there is malchus. So this will be a very clear proof that Rebbe Lozer is the one that says for doing tithing out of order, there is malchus. Well, if that be the case, then we're going to have to then reevaluate what was meant by Rabbi Yossi Rebbe Chinuna's comment. So in the meantime, let's see how this unfolds. Tistayim, the Gemara says adarabba. Adarabba means to the contrary. Tistayim to Rebbe Lozer who the Omar loike, that he is the one that says malchus for disturbing the order in terms of which is first and which is second. Disnan hoyu lefonav shtei kalkolos shel tevel, a person has two baskets of untithed produce. The Omar, and he declares meiser shel zu bezu, the tithes that are needed to be taken off the tevel of the first basket shall be in the second basket. In other words, using the produce of the second basket, that will exempt the first basket. Horishona mu'useres. So, it's effective. We say that the first basket is considered tithed. Where are its tithes? Well, it's in the second basket. Another case, shel zu bezu v'shel zu bezu. if he declares that he wants the tithes that need to be taken from the first basket are to be found in the second one, and the tithes that the second basket needs are to be found in the first, Horishona mu'useres, v'hashniya eina mu'useres. We say that the first basket is effectively tithed, however, the second one is not. Now, the reason for that is that, well, the first once the first basket is considered tithed, and its tithes are found in the second basket, that first basket is now called putter. It's now exempt. And to expect the tithes that are needed for the second basket to be found in the first basket, that can't be, because that would be a situation of being mafrish min ha-potter al-achiyuv. And you can't do that. You can't, it violates the rules of tithing to use fruits that are exempt to cause exemption of other fruits that are untithed. So therefore, in this second case, we say that the first basket to have been tithed, it is successful, but to expect it to be the source of tithes for the other basket, that's not going to work. A third case, ma'asrosehem meiser kalkolo b'chaverta, he makes in one statement a simultaneous tithing of one basket for the other, koro es hashem. There, it's effective, because both the tithing is taking place simultaneously. The itmar, Rebbe Lozer Omer, loike. Rebbe Lozer says that in the first case and the second case, there is malchus. Bifnei shehiktim meiser sheni shebo, lemeiser rishon shebechaverta. Because of this problem of doing things out of order, how can we illustrate this? So if we glance at the inside margin, we have a little illustration where we have two baskets, so to speak. We call them Aleph and Beis, and they're both Tevel initially. And he makes a declaration that the Meiser shel Zu, the Meisris of basket B, the Zu. In other words, the tithing that needs to be taken, that the basket Beis needs, are in basket Aleph. Yotzei, the Mafrish mitoch Aleph, it comes out then, he's going to be removing tithes, ha-maisrus shel Beis, he's going to be removing the tithes for basket Beis, lefnei shetikein Aleph atzmo, before he tithed basket Aleph itself. In other words, he's worrying about the tithes of basket Beis before he worries about the tithes of basket Aleph. V'hainu hakdomas meiser sheni shel Beis. In effect, what's happening is that he's removing the tithe, the meiser sheni tithe of basket Beis, lefnei shemafrish meiser rishon shel Aleph, before he tithes the meiser rishon from basket Aleph. So that basket Aleph is in effect being is serving as the basis of the tithes of basket Beis before basket Aleph's own tithes were removed. And the examples here of Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni apply also for doing things out of order in general, like doing Truma before Bikurim. Well, what do we see from all of this? We see that Rebbe Lozer says that for doing things out of order, there is Malchus. And at the end of the line, the Gemara says, Tistayim. So then this would be conclusive. So at this point, then we're establishing that Rebbe Lozer says there's Malchus for changing order. Eloro, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Chanina, the Omar, Einoloka. So then it would come out he is the one that says that there's no Malchus for changing order. Well, if that's the case, then Leimo Kashi, Rebbe Chanina, and Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Chanina. Now we have a contradiction in Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Chanina's. Because at this point, we're saying he holds Einoloka. When above, we had him saying, Af hamakdim truma lebikurim, thinking that that means that even makdim truma lebikurim is an example of yes, malchus. That's an example of changing order. And here we're saying that Rulosa says changing order, we're saying that Rabbi Yossi Rukhina holds for changing order, there's no malchus. The Gemara says, Loi. The understanding of the comment above of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina that said af hamakdim truma lebikurim is not a reference to that as being an additional example of Malkus. And that's what we meant before by the big surprise. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, continuing to the top of Amud Beis, Aptura Koi. When he said Af, he said even this case, he's going on the issue of exemption from Malkus, the Hochi Ko'omar, and thusly, he is to be understood. Lav Shein Bo Maisa Ein Lokin Alav. Violations of negative commands through non-action, there is no Malkus. Mishum Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina Omru, Af Hamakdim Truma Libikurim. That even being Makdim Truma Libikurim is an example of this exemption. And hence, no Malkus. And what basically saying that by, if he's Makdim through Kriyas Shem is the oral declaration of tithing, since it's a dibur and not an action, it too is an example of non-lashing. As we go on, we notice triangles that appear in alternating directions. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we have a triangle feature with the point facing up, and we also note this is a Ma'akav. Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara. So with the point facing up, kushios, and the point facing down, tshuvos. Those are responses. The Gemara continues. Umayshno meimar. Meimar is tmura. Tmura was the issue of replicating the sanctity of a korban onto a second animal, making it too holy. That's called tmura, and we know that it carries with it a penalty of malchus. So umayshno meimar deloki mishum to be diburo osamaisa, that through his speech he changed the status of the animal. Maktim truma libikuru nami lilki mishum to be diburo osamaisa. Why not say the same thing with the tithing out of order? When he tithes, he in effect is declaring he's changing the status of the fruits. He's koreshem and making something into truma. Albeit doing it prior to the Bikurim, but nevertheless, it's a dibur that has a change of status associated with his words. Just like we saw by Tamura. If Tamura gets Malkus, so why not say, why is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Hanina saying there's no Malkus for this? Om Rabbi Oven, Shaini Hasam, the case of being Makdim Truma Libikurim is different. The Lav Shenitak Lasehu, it's a negative command that the Torah follows with a positive command. And the term nitak means something that's dislodged or removed from. In other words, you have a basic lav, a negative command in the Torah, generally speaking, carries with it a penalty of lashes. If, however, the Torah writes a positive command afterwards, what the Torah is trying to do is saying, we're taking the lav out of the realm of standard negative commands, which carry with it a penalty of malchus. The Torah is saying, listen, if you violated this particular negative command, instead of malchus, do this positive command. That's a lav shenitak le'aseh. It's removed from the realm of lav with an expectation, now do the aseh, dichtiv. The pasuk says, after it says, mele'acho v'dimacho, lo se'acher. So that was the pasuk that we cited as our source. For making sure things are done in order. So that's one pasuk. That's a negative command. But there's also an asay dichtiv. Mikol Masro Sechem, or there's a girsa, should be Matno Sechem, Torimu. The Rashi says, Lav Shenitak Lase, Lav Dichtiv, the negative command is Mileachov Dimacho Lo Sacher, Ase, the positive command, Dichtiv, Mikol Matno Sechem, Torimu. Vidor Shile Be'alma, Ubahav Shmaitzo de Lekamon, Lamaiser Shikdimo Bikri. The Gemara explains this as a reference to a Meiser that's taken by a Levi before the Truma is taken off. when it's in the pile of grain, the overall lav de lo sachir shikte maisu le truma, he's in violation of this change of order where he's taking the maisu before the truma is removed. Viniske le lav mi malkos, the lav is removed from malkos, vemido, and is established rather bechoizer umafrish, well, do the hafrosha anyway. In other words, after you did this out of order, you took the maisers off first, now do the truma. And Rashi says something interesting here. V'afagav de lo samchi adoti, even though these two psukim are not next to each other, which in general, when we speak about a lav shenitiklas, say we speak about two psukim in proximity of one another. Nevertheless, choshiv le lav shenitiklas say v'ahochi lo loka. They're nevertheless considered a lav shenitiklas say. The question then, or the issue has been answered, that if you wanted to think that being Makdim Truma Lebikurim should be parallel to Tumura, that's not so. Why not? Because the Makdim Truma Lebikurim is a lav, but it's Nitak Lase, from the pasuk that says Mikol Matnosechem Torimu. And therefore, since it's Nitak Lase, it's removed from the realm of Malkos. Yosef Rav Dimi v'kamar lo l'ha shmaitza. Rav Dimi said over this particular teaching, Amar le Abaye, Abaye asks, v'chol lav shenitek lasei lo loki, is that really true? That when you have a negative command that's followed by an expectation to do a positive, there is no malchus? V'ha meimar, going back to Tmura itself, the lav shenitek lasei hu? V'loki. In fact, Tmura has the same scriptural structure, a lav, and then an asay. Disnan, the Mishnah tells us, lo shodam rashoi lahomir, you shouldn't do tmura, eloshim hamir mumar, but if you did do it, it becomes sanctified, and then you have to bring it as a korban. Fisofigis harboim, now we've dashed underlined this point that there is malchus, showing us that we have an example of a lav, shenitak lasay. Rashi quotes the psukim by Tmur says lo yachlifenu, and then there's an asay vim homer yomir, if he did it, well, it becomes tmura, and yet there is malchus. Answer: havi lahu, the example of tmura is tre lavi v'chad asay. The pasuk in the negative says lo yachlifenu v'lo yomir. There are two negatives, and as a result of that, the chad lav and one positive, although osi chad lav okar tre lavi, one lav, one asay, one positive, doesn't have the power of undoing two negatives. Undoing meaning undoing or releasing the negative from the realm of malchus. So you're basically going to be left with one, we'll call it one extra lav, and for that there will be the malchus. Question. V'hare oines, dechad lav v'chad asay. Ones literally is a case of rape. Now, as far as the Torah is concerned, if one commits this reprehensible act of raping a single girl, a virgin, a besula, he is by Torah law expected to marry that girl and not ever to divorce her. He must marry her and keep her. Now, the case of oines is there's a lav which says lo yuchal l'shalcha, he cannot send her away, and there is an asay which says velo tia lisha, unto him she shall be a wife. So you have there a case of one lav and one asay, velo asi asay the okar chad lav, and yet the asay isn't able to undo the singular lav from malchus. In other words, there is malchus. Desanya, we have the following source, and the dashed underlining will be the main point. It says here, oines shigiresh, a person who was ma'anes, who raped, and eventually he married her, but then he divorced her, which we said that's a negative command. It's forbidden from doing it. Im Yisrael hu machzir v'eino loke. If he is a non-Kohen, he's a Yisrael, a Kohen is someone who is forbidden to marry a divorced woman, even if it's his own divorcee. However, if he is a Yisrael and he divorced her, so he takes her back and thereby avoids lashing. And here we focus. If we're talking about a Kohen who had committed the rape and he had married her and then divorced her, that's at the point he divorces her, that's the lav. It says here, loike v'eino machzir. Well, he gets malchus. And we know that he can't be machzir. However, as far as the setup in the Torah is concerned, you have a lav, that thou shalt not divorce her, and you have an aseh, v'lo tialisha. So as far as the Torah is concerned, the setup is a lav and an aseh. And if our rule is correct, that lav shenitak laseh ein lokin alav, there should be no malchus here, regardless of the fact that he is a kohen and he cannot take her back. But as far as the Torah setup of this particular mitzvah, it should be that there should be no malchus, according to what you said earlier. In other words, and now this is Abaye's challenge to that which Rabbi Ovin tried to answer above, that a lav shenitak laseh is exempt from malchus. Here you have a lav shenitak laseh, and there yet is malchus. The Gemara answers, Kohanim ko'amris. Are you trying to raise a challenge from the case of Kohanim? Shiny Kohanim is a different realm. The Taimu Achrina Hu. The reason for the Malkus is for a different reason. The Ravi Rachmona Kedusha Yisera. Kohanim have many additional areas of stringency that and a result of stringency, it leads to holiness. And because of their higher level of holiness that is accorded to them by the Torah, therefore they get Malkus. Rashi says, a few lines down from here, Hochi Garcina Shani Konim, the Taimu Achrino Ninu, the Ravi Bulu Kroa Kedusha, Dichtiv Emor El Hakonim, Le Nefesh Lo Yitama. A Kohen is not allowed to expose himself to defilement as a result of death. The Kevon, the Chomir Kedusha Sayu, Hichmir Olayu, Tfeim Yisrael. And as a result of their additional sanctity, there is additional obligation additional level of severity accorded to them. The Lilki Afil Alav Shanita Klase, Afagav the Israel Lo Lucky, that a Kohen will get Malkus even for Alav Shanita Klase, which would not be the case by a Yisrael. As the Gemara goes on, we have a topic heading. We have also in our Gemara itself a semicolon indicating that we're not out of the topic, we're staying within the general topic, but what continues is not a direct flow. On the outside margin of the Nosei, we have written, Lav She'en Bo Maise, Machlokes Tanoim, E Loiken Olav. Regarding the issue of a Lav, a negative command that's violated through non-action, does it carry with it a Malkos penalty? This itself is a Machlokes Tanoim. And we've made reference to this in the past as in fact a Tanaic controversy. Here we're presented with it at the source. So we say kitanoi, the issue of lav she'en bo imaisa, of negative command violated through non-action, is it malchus worthy? Is a machlokas tanoim as is illustrated. Lo so siru mimenu ad boker. The pasuk is talking about a korban pesach, and the Torah warns against leaving over the meat till the next morning. The korban pesach is done on the fourth; it's sacrificed on the 14th of Nisan, and it's eaten the 15th of Nisan at night. What we fondly refer to as the Pesach Seder, or Seder night. So in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they ate a korban pesach, and they were expected to finish off the meat and not leave it over till the morning. The pasuk goes on to say, if the meat is left over, then there is an expectation that it shall be burnt. The Torah structures itself, giving a positive command, following the negative, lomar, thereby telling us she'en loikin olav, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Because you have this positioning of the positive after the negative, the Torah is saying, as a result of violating, leaving it over, you know what the next step is? Burn it. Burn the leftover meat. Rabbi Yankiv Oymer, lo min hashem hu zeh. The exemption of Malchus for Noisar is not a function of it being followed by a positive command. The negative command of don't leave over the meat is violated through non-action, namely simply leaving over the meat. That's a non-action that results in the violation. Negative commands that are violated through non-action do not warrant getting lashed. Whose opinion is that? That lav shein bo maisa ein lokin alav. That's Reb Yankiv's opinion. In the same source, we saw Reb Yehuda addressing the case of Noisar, but he didn't use that reason. Michlal, we can infer, therefore, the Reb Yehuda savar lokin alav, that by the mere fact that you have a lav shein bo maisa, if it wouldn't have been followed by a positive command, there would have been malchus. So what we started off this section by saying kitanoi, namely the issue of lav shein bo maisa, is a machlokes tanoim, whether there be malchus for it or not. We can now say that a lav shein bo maisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be malchus. Only according to Rabbi Yankiv, there is no malchus. The Gemara now asks, for Rabbi Yankiv, hi, v'hanoisar mimenu ad boiker, boish tisrofu lamai osa. What does Rabbi Yankiv do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda had cited for exemption? Rabbi Yehuda had cited the positive command, v'hanoisar mimenu ad boiker, is there to tell me that there should be no malchus, but rather go ahead and do this positive command and thereby fulfill the expectation. What does Rabbi Yankiv learned from this pasuk? Answer: Miboya lei lichedisnan. He needs this pasuk vanoser mimenu ad boker beish tisrofu for the following teaching. We have a Tanaic source, and actually, before we go on, we glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading. You see, it says Srefas Nosar Dafka Biyom Chol. The burning of leftover sacrificial meat is to be done only on a weekday. In other words, not on Yom Tov, nor on a Shabbos. So we're taught now the following source: Hatzamos, Vagidin, Vanosar. Bones, sinews, and meat that's left over, Yisrafu, Beshisha, Asar. They shall be burnt on the 16th of Nisan. The Korban Pesach, as we mentioned earlier, was brought on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon, and it was to be eaten the 15th of Nisan at night, the Seder night. The daytime that follows, namely the 15th by day of the 15th of Nisan, is the first day of Yom Tov. That's a, we'll call it a holy day. It's a day where there's, other than things that you're allowed to do for food preparation, namely Oichol Nefesh, otherwise, other melachos one is not allowed to do. And the burning of korbanit is not for eating purposes. It's simply to mekayim a mitzvah. It's burning for a non-food, a non-eating reason. Therefore, the Torah says that the leftover korban meat is to be burnt on the 16th of Nisan, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed. And this is what we learn from the Pasuk. The Pasuk had said, do not leave it over till the morning. That's Lo Sasur Menu Ad Boker. That means don't leave it over till the morning, meaning till the 15th of Nisan in the morning. Eat it the 15th at night. The night precedes the day. So finish it off by the night. Don't leave it over till the morning. So we see the 15th of Nisan referred to. The pasuk goes on to say, "Vanoser mimenu ad boker bo'esh tisrofu." Now, what's the second boker doing here? This second boker is telling me what we call boker sheni, the next boker after the 15th, namely the 16th of Nisan. That's when the burning is to take place. Let us say we have a situation. Chal Shisho Solios B'Shabbos. Let's say the 16th of Nisan was a Shabbos. In other words, Friday was the 15th of Nisan, so that you have the Seder night with the eating of the Korban Pesach on Thursday night. Friday morning is the 15th of Nisan. We said the burning of the Noser can't take place then, but on the next day. But the next day happens to be Shabbos, the 16th. So then, if that's the case, Yisrafu b'shiva asar, then burn it on the 17th of Nisan. On that would be the Sunday. Lefi she'ein doichin loy es Shabbos v'lo es Yom Tov. The Omar Chizkiya v'chein tana debei Chizkiya. My taima. What is the moker for this? What is the reason for this? Actually, we already explained it, but here the Gemara will tell us inside. So in the meantime, the source told us that Sreifas Noser is to take place on the 16th of Nisan, and if the 16th is a Shabbos, do it on the 17th of Nisan, because this burning doesn't override Shabbos nor Yom Tov. And Chizkiyah, and it's taught by in the Yeshiva of Chizkiyah what the reason for that is. Omar Kral, the Pasuk says, Vanosar Mimenu Ad Boiker Boesh Tisrofu. And we pointed out that this phrase is coming on the heels of the pasuk that says Lo sosiru mimenu ad boker, don't leave it over till the morning. There's a reference to a morning again. Bo hakosuv litein boker sheni l'sreifaso. The pasuk is coming to give me a second morning for its burning. In other words, the first morning after the offering of the meat was the 15th of Nisan, and we're told don't leave it over till that morning. And then when it comes to the burning, burn it on the next morning, the 16th of Nisan. At this point in the Gemara, we are at the at the beginning of a very long sugya. You'll notice in the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh heading appears, and in parentheses, we have an indication at Vov Amud Beis. That means we're holding right now at the end of Daled Amud Beis. This sugya will last till Vov Amud Beis. We have a diamond featured, and they highlight the names Abaye and Rava. Machloikes Abaye and Rava beinyan kol milsedom rachmona lo savid, regarding all matters that the Torah says don't do, e ovid, if you went ahead and did it, mehani o lo mehani, does it take hold or not? Labaye mehani, according to Abaye, it takes hold, and l'Rava lo mehani, but according to Rava, it doesn't. We have a little called summary of what is to be expected till Vav Amud Beis, and we see this on the inside margin. We have something called a taktsir. Taktsir is a type of summary and an indication ad Vav Amud Beis. What we've written here, and oftentimes in the learning using the Shas Ozer, the Gemara markings, we have headings and comments that have an initial value, but their main value is for review purposes. So this little introduction will take on a much greater significance when one completes the sugya and then comes back and reads this. All the same, we have written as follows: Hagemora mevio kan machlokas abaye v'rova beinyan kol mai domar achmona, etc. The Gemara introduces this machlokas. V'takshe kushios. Gemara will raise questions, and we have a marking indicating these questions. Little house forms, sometimes point facing up, sometimes point facing down. Mi yud dalet sugis, from 14 different topics. Chelik mehen al Rava. Some of them will be kashis on Rava with the point facing up. V'chelik al Abaye, and some of them will be kashis on Abaye. The kashis on Abaye will have the house form facing downwards. The point facing downwards. Bechol mikre mikre heim moidim v'omrim. In each one of the cases, the challenges that are brought, they will be saying, okay, this seems to be a challenge. Well, shiny hossam. And that case is different. Each time they try to bring up, the Gemara tries to bring a question, they'll say, well, that case is different. Ubesof vovom and aleph, ha-gemara, at the end of Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara will ask Tishal im kol echad moide l'sheni, if it's so that each one, Abaye and Rava, are agreeing to the other, b'mai pligi be'ezu din yesh bitui l'machlekusam, where, and that will be highlighted with a bow tie form eventually when we get there. And the Gemara will ask b'mai pligi, what is the point of controversy? In which case do you see some type of manifestation of a difference between these two opinions, if in each case they're saying that the question is really, well, as an exceptional case? So our Gemara reads, Omar Abaye, kol milsa diomar achmona lo savid, anything the Torah said not to do, for example, all the negative commands in the Torah, im ovid mehani, if one does it, it takes hold. Rashi says, Mehani, at the second line from the bottom, Demasha Osa Osui, that whatever he did, Hoyil it the lucky. It also takes effect and it results in lashing. The Gemara goes on to say the e salka daitach lomahani, if it were so that what he does in doesn't take effect, am I lucky? Why should he get lashing? We can understand why a person gets lashing, because he did something that takes effect and he shouldn't have done. But if he did something that he's instructed not to do, but it doesn't even take effect, why should he be lashed? Rava Omar, loy mahani midi. If the Torah said not to do something, so it doesn't take effect if you did it. The high deloki, the fact that he gets malchus, mishum de ovar ameimro de rachmonahu, because he violated something that the Almighty said not to do. In other words, according to Rava, there is no direct relationship between the malchus, or we can say that the malchus being a manifestation of something having taken hold. With that, and as we say, this is really just the introduction of a sugya that lasts as we said, till daf vav amid beis. So, with this particular point, having introduced the two opinions, we conclude our shiur for today.